So many of us want to feel empowered, but that almost feels cliche nowadays, right? Empowerment, what really is that? Well, guess what? We were together last weekend in the book club and we were doing this, I don't know, it was like a mic drop of just empowerment for women. It made complete sense. Like we finally hit the nail on the head. We finally figured it out all together with this particular chapter in the book. And we walked away with understanding exactly what's been happening in our hearts and our heads with everything we've been made to feel and exactly what we need to do next. And I just had to share it on the podcast. Let's go. Hello, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome back to the Mindful Muslima Speaks podcast. I'm your host, Mindful Muslima, coming to you every week on topics that you guys crave. And this episode is no less because we have been talking about some of the things that have been really bothering us, we've been struggling with. And alhamdulillah, today, I feel like it just all made sense when we were talking last weekend. We talk so much as women about what we need, but like this really just hit the nail on the head. And it was so moving that so many women had such just deep discussions on it. I was like, let me just put it in a really quick podcast so you can get the best gems and highlights of that conversation so you can get in the know on kind of how to feel more strong as a Muslim woman in the day and age where you're kind of feeling overwhelmed all the time. Me too. So want to just say for the new listeners, welcome, welcome. And for the old time people, some of y'all been with us since the beginning. I just want to say thank you so much. I love all your messages. My DMs get flooded regularly with all the appreciation. As you guys know, we've hit 5 million here in the podcast, and we are so, so grateful for everything that you all have ever done. If I haven't taken a moment lately, I just want to say thank you so much for your just coming back week after week, for your support, and for sharing this podcast with other women so they could benefit. So many of you tell me you hit share on many of the episodes and have helped friends and family, and that just means the world. We are just here to help as many women as possible and help us all grow and thrive and become women of impact. And so we're going to start off the podcast talking about this amazing topic. I want to actually start off by reading a section from where we were together, because I think it just doesn't need me to change a thing. And so for those of you who don't know, we've been reading Yasmin Mujahid's book, Reclaim Your Heart. And it was really, really well said in just about two pages, what has been happening to us women. And I think it just needs to be explored. And I do want to say that this does touch a lot of nerves with people, as many topics do. And right before I read this, I do want to say, since so many of you have been flooding my DMs on what to do emotionally, like you're struggling, I just want you to know we have this perspective here that like the best way to first address this is to address your mindset. We do address the mindset because a lot of negative thinking that makes you not want to pray, makes you not want to do the next thing you know you're supposed to do. You know you should read more Quran, you don't. Why? So addressing your mindset is really important. Understanding your mind is really important. Then after that, there's all the steps of building confidence. And you guys were there for our self-love one. So thank you so much. I know all of you loved our self-love workshop that we just had as well. And so we're here to teach women how to build themselves up. And for those of you who just listened to the podcast and are not aware, right before I dive into this page, I just want to say we have an entire community outside of here. We do learning and teaching outside of here. And this is just the first step. If you want to actually fix things like for good, for real, let me just tell you a couple of things that are going on. Number one, we have a free class to understand how to master your emotions. It's one of our most popular classes after the Muslim Marriage Lab class we have on finding a spouse. You'll find that below. I'll put the link there. And we also, for about 1 week a year, I think we do it twice a year, we open our emotions course. It actually just opened today. It'll be closing within a week. But if you want to actually finally fix everything that's been going on in your head and your heart for good, it takes 3 weeks to learn. But the effects are like I can't explain. And so alhamdulillah, when it comes down to having bad relationships, not loving yourself, people taking advantage of you, being a people pleaser, all that comes down to a lack of controlling emotions when it comes down to your head and your mindset. I can't stop thinking negative. I'm not motivated. I'm procrastinating. That comes down to emotions and mindset. All of that stuff has to be fixed for you to literally move on with any other topic in your life. It's that foundational. So when women learn that, they often then are completely confident and can move on and speak up for themselves and all that good stuff. So I'll put the link below for that as well. And that's only 1 week. All right, so let's dive into this page because I think it says a lot about what's been going on in our head and our heart and how we're made to feel as women, why we don't feel like we're good enough, why we don't feel like we're enough. And I want to make sure this is really, really clear. This is from the chapter on women's status in the Reclaim Your Heart book for Yasmin Mujahid. She said, when the companions of the Prophet, peace be upon him, entered a town to bring them to the message of Islam, he put it very beautifully. He said, I come to free you from the servitude of the slave and bring you to the servitude of the Lord of the slave. Within this statement lies a powerful treasure. Locked within these words is the key to empowerment and the only real path to liberation. And that's why I wanted to share this with you. So listen here what she says next. You see, the moment you or I allow anything other than our Creator to define our success, our failure, our happiness, our worth, we have entered into a silent but destructive form of slavery. The things which defines my self-worth, my success and failure is what controls me, and it becomes my master. The master who's defined a woman's worth has taken many forms throughout time. One of the most prevalent standards made for women has been the standard of men. Listen up to this part. So if you haven't already listened to my entire podcast on why do we need feminism, this is going to give you just a little light into kind of like how when feminism is trying to make us compare ourselves to men or be equal to men, that is still a low standard because men are not our standard. Being like a man is not my standard. I have a higher standard. I mean, it's really nice that they think that's the high standard, but we have higher. Listen up to this. One of the most prevalent standards made for women has been the standard of men. But what we so often forget is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored the woman by giving her value in relation to himself, not in relation to men. Yet as Western feminism erased God from the scene, there was no standard left but men. As a result, Western feminists were forced to find their value in relation to man. And in doing so, she accepted a faulty assumption. She accepted that man is the standard, and thus a woman can never be a full human being until she becomes just like a man, the standard, right? And when a man cut his hair short, she wanted to do it. When a man joined the army, she wanted to do it. She wanted these things for no other reason than the standard that was given to her with them. What she didn't recognize was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dignifies both men and women in their distinctiveness, not in their sameness. I'm going to say that again. He definitely dignifies them, men and women, in their distinctiveness, not in their sameness. When we accept men as the standard, suddenly anything uniquely feminine becomes by definition inferior. Being sensitive is an insult. Becoming a full-time mother, complete degradation. You know, all these mothers that want to be stay-at-home moms that don't have a career, they're looked down upon. Our families love degrees. That's great. But I will tell you something. A lot of the mothers of the believers, they did not have careers. And they were the best of women. Who am I talking about? The wives of the Prophet, peace be upon him. So listen to this. Being sensitive is an insult. Being a full-time mother, complete degradation. In the battle between stoic rationality, which is considered masculine, and selfless compassion, which is considered feminine, rationality reigns supreme. As soon as we accepted that every man has and does it better, all that followed was just a knee-jerk reaction. If men have it, I want it too. If men pray in the front row, we assume it's better. So we want to pray in the front rows too. If men lead prayer, we assume the imam is closer to God. So we want to lead prayer too. This is a nod to that mosque that had women lead all the prayers and even for men and stuff like that. So, I mean, that's not the only nod she's making, but you get it. Like you feel like there's some type of superiority. Somewhere along the lines, we'd accepted the notion that having a position of worldly leadership is some indication of one's position with God. But a Muslim woman does not need to degrade herself in that way. She has God as the standard. She has God to give her value. She doesn't need a man to do this. Now, we're not saying men don't matter. We're not saying we don't need men, so don't go there. We're saying that our standard is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the standard he gave us. So then the question became in the book club that we were thinking is, well, what is that standard? Are we even aware of it? Because we have had the standard of men just shoved down our throat so long. I'm wondering if we even remember what the standard, or even were ever taught what the standard of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. What are my rights? What are my standards? How should I hold myself high? And you know, if you look at the mothers of the believers, and there's a great book, and I've mentioned it on Instagram, called The Great Women of Islam. Great Women in Islam, excuse me. This is, you can DM me on Instagram if you're not sure which one. We have role models who will show us what this looks like, but we often don't know them, right? Given our privilege as women, we only degrade ourselves by trying to be something we're not. And in all honesty, we don't want to be a man. As women, we will never reach true liberation until we stop trying to mimic men and value the beauty within our own God-given distinctiveness. That's powerful. All right. So this second one she talks about, given our prevalent standard as women, there's actually a second master that we don't realize. Yet in society, there's another prevalent master, she says on page 142, which is defining women's worth. It's the so-called standard of beauty. Since we were little as women, we were taught a very clear message: be thin, be sexy, be attractive, or be nothing. So we were told to put on that makeup, wear the short skirts, instructed to give our lives or bodies indignity for the cause of being pretty. We came to believe that no matter what we did, we were only worthy to the degree that we could please and be beautiful for men, and sometimes other women at this point, right? So we spent our lives on the cover of Cosmo and gave our bodies to advertisers to sell. You might not think putting yourself on Instagram in your cute outfit with your makeup and your lashes, and even if it's semi-Islamic, is wrong, but it is. It is wrong for me too. All of us. You see, the mistake we made is we think we're supposed to step out the house and be beautiful then. But I learned really quickly, it's the opposite. You see, when you go outside, you're supposed to have the standard of Allah, not the standard of society. So when you get the Gucci purse, or you get the cute, you know, Revlon, whatever, and you get it all, and then you go outside with it on, you are in the standard of society. You're not in the standard of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because in Islam, you don't wear makeup outside, right? You don't show your hair outside. You don't got tight clothing, right? Clothing. Rasulullah, he talked about kasiyat al-aliyat. Those are her clothes, but they're actually naked. He actually said that was going to happen to us, and it's here, right? You can't have like hijab and like tight jeans on. That doesn't make any sense, right? So this is us doing like a semi version. I didn't go full throttle. I'm not out there in short skirts, or maybe you are. Right? I'm showing my ankles. I'm not showing my wrists, but maybe you are, right? Or it depends on what day and what fashion and what trend and what I'm wearing. And we're doing that sometimes. And the standard is to do that inside, to do it at parties, to do it in front of our husband. If we don't have a husband, we can do it with our girlfriends. Be careful there too. Don't go too risque, because there's a danger with that. There are some ill-hearted people who might find you attractive, and they're a female. This is 2020. You know what I mean? So 2023. But alhamdulillah, we were slaves, but they taught us we were free. We were their object, but they swore it was success, because they taught you that the purpose of your life was to be on display, to attract, to be beautiful for men. They had you believe that your body was created to market their cars, but they lied, okay? Your body, your soul was created for something higher, something so much higher. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, verily the most honored of you in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the righteous, 49:13. So you are honored. But this is not by your relationship with men, sisters, either by pleasing them or what have you. Your value as a woman is not measured by the size of your waist or how many men like you. Your worth as a woman is measured by the scale of righteousness and piety. And your purpose of life, despite what the fashion magazines say, it's something more sublime than just looking for the approval of men. That's a low standard, right? And so I ask you to unlearn. I ask you to stand up and tell the world that you are a slave to nothing. Not fashion, not beauty, not men. You are a slave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And that is the mic drop, ladies. And so, ladies, I want to say that this is deep. This is so deep. This sparked a conversation inside. And then we realized that men were taught wrong. Men were taught the wrong version of masculinity. And they need to unlearn and relearn. We realized that we need to help them. We need to help each other. We need to be, you know, fighting for one another. This is a war of information out there, and we are flooded with the wrong message. Part of the reason that we have struggling in our relationships and our homes and our marriages and our jobs and the way we look at ourselves in the mirror is so deep. It's deeper than we know. We have to take it back. And part of that is mindset and emotion. That's why I started off with that from the beginning. Because, you know, you're going to click off this podcast. You're going to be like, oh, yeah, I'm fired up. Yeah, we should do that. Then you can go right back to autopilot. Happens every day, right? And I told them in the book club that 95%, and this is scientifically proven, 95% of like our programming by the time we're 35 is set. The way you're going to react to stuff, the way you're going to think, the way you're going to get up and do stuff, move, actions, emotions, it's just on autopilot. And that's why Alyssa Penamathaila calls the people who are sleeping, the people who are alive but dead, the people who are sleepwalking, the ghafilun, right? These people that need to wake up. Wake up the soul, muraqabah, mindfulness. That's why we have the Mindful Muslima podcast. That's why we have the whole platform. That's why we have Thrive Muslima, a whole community of sisters that I made for you all to be a part of. So you could do this together. That's why we have learning inside. So you could do it together because you're not meant to do it alone. Thank you so much to all the sisters, by the way, that are in there. And I want to say that if you have been struggling, there is nothing wrong with you. You just don't have the tools to do it. And that's literally all you need. And that's the difference. The tools and the trust of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make it easy for you, sisters. I hope that helped. Enjoy the rest of your week. DM me and don't forget the emotions course, if you're interested, will close within a week. I'll put the link below. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.